Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then looking in the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. Father, thank you, Lord, for being our good and our great shepherd. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. Thank you for the privilege we have of being able to refer to ourselves as your children. You've called us out of the world and into a new relationship with you and one another. Thank you for the privilege of being the church, the body of Christ in the world. Lord, more and more open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to understand the fact is you've called us to be a church of compassion, a church of love, a church that's reaching out to a world that desperately needs to be touched, changed, and transformed by the love, the mercy, and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Empower us to be a church that's living a lifestyle of compassion, a lifestyle of love and mercy, reaching out to those that are hurting in every area of life. And in particular, Lord, help us as the church to reach out to minister to women who find themselves pregnant at a difficult time in their lives, and to reach out to minister and to reach out to help the babies that have been affected so tragically by the reality of abortion. Help us to know, Lord, that we're your hands and your feet in the world. Help us to be about your business of standing for life and standing against the tragedy of abortion, and help us to do our part to help end the tragedy of abortion soon. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer at this time.
Father, we love you today. We lift high your name. We exalt you, Father. And Father, we bring our listening family to you with so many needs. Some are incarcerated, Father. We pray that you will help them to find peace day by day, that they can rest in you, lean on you, depend on you. Pray for those listening, Father, who are sick, those in financial problems, dealing with that, and Father, those in relationship issues. God, so many needs in this world, but such a big God that we can bring these people to you and know that you hear and that you respond to our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I'd like to encourage you to take time to go to our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, and like them if you would. And we, on an ongoing basis, we're asking that you'd pray much for the ministry of the American Family Association as a whole, American Family Radio, and in particular for this broadcast, the Hour of Intercession. One of our goals is to help strengthen and encourage you in your prayer life and to help you to become a vibrant prayer warrior involved in the work of the building of God's kingdom through your prayer life and your walk with the Lord. And remember, if you're wanting some of the prayer resources and discipleship resources we provide, just simply email me at jparker@afa.net, and we're glad to share them. And our hope is that you'll take them and use them for your individual walk with the Lord, for as tools also to help disciple your family in their walk with the Lord and in their prayer life. But also, we're encouraging you to forward them and share them with family and friends and fellow church members and unsaved persons that you know as well, because a number of the items are evangelism tools you can certainly use by way of the internet to do internet online evangelism as well as discipleship. Hope you'll do that. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. We're greatly honored and blessed to have as our phone guest today, Jarrell Godsey. He's the president of the ministry Heartbeat International. Jarrell, how are you today?
Very good, Pastor Joseph. Very good to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
An honor to have you on. And, for years I've known of the ministry of Heartbeat, but this is my first time having the opportunity to interview someone from the great ministry of Heartbeat International. If you would take a moment now to further introduce yourself and tell our listeners who and what Heartbeat International is all about.
Happy to. You know, it's one of those kind of God stories that goes way back. In fact, we are celebrating our 50th anniversary, and many people would think of abortion in the U.S. Starting with Roe versus Wade, but of course it didn't. It started about 5 years before that. In 1967 and 68, there were a number of states that began to change their abortion laws. Mm-hmm. And at the time, this is before, you know, the big court case comes down and makes it the law of the land. It was happening in some individual states, Colorado, California, Oregon, a few others. And eventually, before we get to Roe, there are probably close to half the states at that point had made some adjustments in their abortion laws, mm-hmm. Making it more available and accessible. And so what happened even before Roe was there are people thinking, well, this is crazy. You know, this is going to get sorted out. Someone's going to, you know, fix this politically, and certainly this will be worked out in the legal perspective. But while that's happening, we have women who are in the midst of an unplanned pregnancy who need help to make sure that they don't feel forced into an abortion, like their own circumstances, or God forbid another person would be forcing that on them. And so there were a number of people that stepped up and said, I can help. I can help walk through this. I'll help connect you with either help in the church or some various community programs or government opportunities. Most people are not walking around with that kind of information. Even today, 50 years later, you know, they're far more plentiful today. But back in those days, it was a very difficult thing. You know, of course, unwed pregnancy was often really seen as more of a shame concern back then, and so there were people willing to step into those situations and help. And what they wanted was a group that kind of connected them together, like, help us because we're all trying to figure this out. It was a new day as far as the social upheaval that was going on in the late 60s and early 70s. And they simply wanted a place to connect, that they could learn from one another, that they could know about each other and network. And that is where Heartbeat International was born. It was actually originally born as Alternatives to Abortion International. Mm-hmm. And that's simply the kind of the core value. It's like, boy, everyone should have alternatives to abortion. Those that were there at the time knew that, or were confident that it would be fixed legislatively, politically, as I said. Of course, we know now that hasn't quite been accomplished. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, people still are in a place of finding themselves pregnant, not knowing where to turn or who to turn to. And that's where the pregnancy help movement arose as a part of the pro-life movement, per se, to help women overcome obstacles. And those obstacles, as you know, Pastor Joseph, can vary widely, you know, from financial concerns, Sometimes it's relationship concerns. Sometimes there are medical concerns, and those things all need to be addressed and to be walked through so that a woman doesn't choose abortion because she feels there's no other option. There should always be another option, and because every woman should be loved and supported in her pregnancy.
Okay. Would you take a moment now specifically to pray for the church in this regard, Jarrell, specifically for the church to become much more aggressive in both coming to better understand the issues surrounding life and to become much more aggressive in seeking to address them from God's heart? Would you pray for that in that regard?
Certainly, most certainly. Father, I thank you for those that have already heard your call and to step up and say, I'm here, send me. I thank you, Lord, for those who are stepping out, who are sitting in pregnancy help centers or who are on the sidewalk outside of abortion clinics, Lord, not yelling, not screaming, but sharing your love and compassion, your heart for that young woman and for the child within. And so, Lord, I thank you for each of them. But I thank you, Father, for the church to be awakened to the need even greater.
Yes,
Lord, to those that have been seeing this only as a political issue, have seen it only as something that happens in the newspapers, but in fact, it's happening in lives of fellow parishioners, of community members, even family members. And so, Lord, that's exactly what you've called your church to minister to, is those that are near us, close to us, and within us. And so, Father, I thank you that you enlighten the eyes of the pastors. I thank you, Lord, that you open the hearts of the congregations, not just to help someone else who's doing it, but to be in a place where they can step out and be equipped themselves and be encouraged and really give courage to those who might be facing an unplanned, unintended pregnancy themselves. So, Lord, I thank you for that understanding. You are the God of life, and you are the giver of life, and you give us one of the most precious gift that we could ever have is the gift of life, Lord, and then life everlasting. And so we thank you, Father, for that gift that you give, and you uniquely empower and equip the church to champion it.
Amen. Praise God. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Jarrell. Now, Jarrell, Heartbeat is international. So how many other countries do you work in besides the United States?
Oh, excellent question. So we started in the U.S. We were the first pregnancy help center network in the U.S. Now, the first pregnancy center actually began in Toronto, Canada, but quickly it began to realize that this is an international concern, that you know, other nations are just as concerned for their little ones. And so Heartbeat International began to find opportunity to speak and to help network folks in Europe in particular at that time, and then later on in Asia, and then Africa, and then Australia, and of course Central America, South America, all over. So right now we operate in more than 70 countries. We have affiliates in more than 70 countries, every single continent except, of course, the one that has mostly penguins. You know, we don't really count that one. But hey, if there's a pregnancy problem amongst the penguins, we'll go to Antarctica as well.
Amen.
But the adventure for us is really, how does this happen? And Pastor Joseph, I can tell you, it's really amazing because while the U.S. has 2% of the problem, if I just do the simple math, there's about 50 million abortions worldwide every year, about. And there are about 1 million abortions in the U.S., a little less, but just for the sake of math, I'm going to use that number. So there's about 2% of the abortion challenges in the U.S., but when it comes to funding in particular, about the reverse is true. About 98% of pro-life funding is directed at the U.S. or at 2% of the problem. And meanwhile, there's a whole globe out there who have countries that are not as generous, who have
Jarrell, I'm going to have to jump in here. We're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Jarrell Godsey. He's the president of Heartbeat International. We'll be right back.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
The music of Chris Tomlin, Amazing Grace. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Jarrell Godsey. He's the president of Heartbeat International. Jarrell, before we go further, if someone's wanting to get more information about Heartbeat or get in touch with you, can you share the website or how they can get in touch with the ministry?
Absolutely, Pastor Joseph. So we are at heartbeatinternational.org. And all of those letters. But we'd be happy to help and connect people. We have a number of other resources. We want everyone to know that there is help and hope in the community nearby, and so we have a lot of different ways to do that. Happy to help.
All right. Thank you, then. And again, you were saying that 50 million abortions a year worldwide is a conservative estimate of the number all over the world.
Yes, sir. So 50 million, and you know, that doesn't count the ones we don't know about, the illegal abortions and others, but you have countries that have major policies for abortion. Of course, you have a few that that have laws against it. Doesn't mean that abortions are not happening there. But yes, 50 million worldwide, and in the U.S., we have less than a million. So our percentage of that whole worldwide abortion challenge is 2%, and yet the funding that we can count typically tends to flow towards the U.S. So we have a very generous country and a very giving country as far as our kind of social construct, and very different from other countries. And so they are really very challenged when we see it happening, whether it's in, so I have some good friends in Zambia who are doing an amazing work, not just in Zambia, but across that central and southern Africa, about launching pregnancy health outreach. And they do it in the most modest and humble of ways, but they have that same value for their families and for their community as we do here. And so it's a beauty, and it's a wonder, and it's a miracle wherever it happens, but we're grateful that so many have done it in so many parts of the globe.
Mm. And you said you're in 70 different countries then?
Yeah, so we have locations in, more than. So it's the largest number of countries we've ever been able to be a part of. We're grateful for more and more people to see the value because, again, this can seem like a political issue, and certainly there are politics, but at its core, no woman should feel so alone or forced, whether it's by another person, God forbid, or her own circumstances, that the only option she can see is really to pursue the termination of her child. So this is a reality across the globe, and we are grateful for those who have risen up, and we're always praying for more people to rise up from amidst the church. And not that pro-life is specifically a matter of the church. It certainly is a specific matter for the church. And so we're grateful for people to step in and say, we know we can do better than abortion.
That's right. That's right. Well, Jarrell, would you take a moment now specifically? There may be persons listening or thinking to themselves, they've been listening and they may want to ask the very simple question, what exactly is a pregnancy help or pregnancy care center? Because, you know, I would say there's something I've seen observed as a pastor that sometimes you have people that think that pregnancy care centers do abortion. Sometimes they have no idea what they do. Define for our listeners exactly what a pregnancy care center is.
So it really is a group of people who have come together, created an organization, usually a nonprofit, almost always a nonprofit organization, with one goal in mind, and that is simply to help a woman have an alternative to abortion. They want to make sure that she has every opportunity to choose something besides abortion, and that tends to kind of coalesce around some key services. Obviously, we can help with counseling, with relationship counseling, with some pregnancy counseling. Like, what are you expecting? What are you facing? What are you dealing with? And sometimes, Pastor Joseph, that's all that's needed, is someone simply to come alongside them and help them think through the process. Because you know this as a pastor very well, is when we get into crisis, we tend to kind of close our vision to where it's this one, like a tunnel-like vision where we can only see one path, and that's not always the best path, is that one path. And that's what abortion looks like. It looks like the answer. But we sit in these pregnancy centers, and we can have kind of a safe harbor where we can discuss this, because no one in the pregnancy center benefits from the decision. You know, unlike the abortion provider, they get funding, they get paid for that process. But the pregnancy center is there simply to help her pursue and recognize other options rather than abortion. Sometimes that happens in medical services. There are about 70% of pregnancy centers in the U.S. have ultrasound. So we want her to make the most informed decision, and what better decision is made than when you know what really we're talking about. And that's when she can see not just a baby, but she can see her baby in an ultrasound. And so other centers have added other services that range from, in some cases, prenatal care, but also a variety of sexual transmitted disease, treatment and testing, because for those that are sexually active, we want to interact with them and intersect with them and choose, get them to choose an opportunity for a different kind of lifestyle. And that will find them so they won't need abortion. But these are all the kind of variety of things that a pregnancy center has to offer, and all at no cost to her.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jarrell, can you think of maybe stories or testimonies of individuals who've been touched by a ministry like Heartbeat and or a pregnancy clinic whose lives were really changed because they encountered that ministry?
Oh, absolutely. From where I've been, and I had the privilege of being the executive director of a center in Colorado, and before that I was on the board and staff of a center in South Florida. So I've had beautiful opportunities to see a lot of little children, hold them myself to be able to celebrate their life, because they came and they said, I just needed someone. I can tell you, there was one particular person who said this, but I've heard it echoed many, many times. She said, I just needed someone to tell me I could do this. And that's one of the scary things, is like our society seems too quick to say, you can't do this. It's not possible to do this. You can't do this without taking this other drastic step. And that simply is not, it's not believing. It's not faith. It's not, and as Christians, we should believe better that, you know what, God can help us through difficult circumstances. Let me tell you a amazing story that we had happen in our center in Colorado. I was in the center when it happened. It wasn't me, because I'm a guy, and I don't counsel the girls necessarily. I only counsel the guys. But we had a young woman walk in, and she was wrestling. She had a lot of issues that she was dealing with. But swirling around her, we kind of boiled it into one, and she kind of blurted out this one thing. She had a little one already. Mm-hmm. She couldn't imagine how she was going to care for the second one. And it kind of came out in this form. It said, you know, what I don't have is a double stroller. Now, this was a while ago, and double strollers weren't just everywhere. Well, we have all kinds of stuff. But did we happen to have a double stroller at that time? No. And so the counselor said to her, and, you know, this is beautiful because we're talking about the intercessory prayer. She said, well, we don't have that right here right now, but can we pray? And they bowed their head. And let me tell you, Pastor Joseph, while they were praying in that counseling room, someone donated a double stroller in the other room. You know, only God has that kind of timing, and that was an amazing thing. And she could, now that wasn't her only issue, but it was like a symbol. Mm-hmm. And God was saying, I got you. I can take care of this. And that's exactly what happens when we seek him. And this is what pregnancy help centers do every day, is they wake up believing for her, and of course praying for her and hoping that she can find them. And that's part of the adventure, is reaching out and letting people know that they exist.
And see, you know, stories like that help us better understand why it's so important for ministries that Heartbeat helps to start and helps to sponsor are so important, because they're there in the right place at the right time to help women who find themselves in what, from their perspective, is a crisis, an insurmountable crisis, yet helping them to see that this is not the end of the world. This is not the greatest obstacle in the world to deal with. And that makes all the difference in the world. So
it does. You know, there's a power of this word encourage, you know, and it actually means give courage. And that's what the centers do. They give her courage. Of course, they bring resources and they bring knowledge and information and sometimes other help that's necessary. But at the core, it really is the power of believing in her and knowing that God can do these things in her and through her. And so it is that power of belief, and no one does that better than the church, or no one should do it better than the church, because we have that great knowledge that God can do all things. Like, through him, all things are possible.
That's right. That's right. Jerrell, I want to ask specifically if you'll pray for us in this regard. You know, many of our listeners know that we've shared that we're in the process of raising the funds to start a mobile pregnancy ministry that will serve in the southern part of the Mississippi Delta. This is an area where there are no pregnancy clinics. And, you know, I think it's so important for the church to recognize that when there are major communities that have no pregnancy clinic centers, I think the church should have the perspective of, we need to fix this. We need to address this because those ministers are so important. Would you pray for the work that we're doing in the Greenwood Pregnancy and Hope Center is the name of the ministry. Would you pray for us in that regard?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Father, I thank you for how all across the U.S. you have raised up community people who have said that they will do something, that they will stand in the gap for these who are facing unplanned, unintended pregnancies and have nowhere else to turn. And Lord, right now in the Mississippi Delta, Lord, you are raising up a work just like that. We thank you, Lord, for Greenwood. We thank you for Pastor Joseph's vision. We thank you for the clarity of the need that is there. And Lord, that this is a mobile unit. This will be able to move your value for life around to various places to help people choose other options besides abortion. And Lord, we thank you for that power of hope. We thank you for that harbor of help. And we thank you, Father, for just how you empower your work in special ways. So I thank you, Lord, for Pastor Joseph and the team there. I thank you for more community people to rise up and say, yes, we want to help, because every woman, Lord, you have called should be loved and supported in their pregnancy. So we thank you for that.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jerrell. Jerrell, I want to share with you a question that was posed to a pro-life leader actually in the state of who lives and serves in the state of Texas. After Texas passed the law that's been in the news so tremendously, but this was the question that was posed to him. So are there organizations willing to step up to provide pregnancy care for those not aborting, or more adoption parents coming forth to help those lives saved? And apparently it's one of those questions that you'd think, well, he must not know what pregnancy clinics are or what they do. But how would you respond to that question?
Well, the good news, there's good news. Of course, the question itself is the bad news, right? That we don't know well enough that there are these pregnancy health centers around the country. And in fact, Pastor Joseph, there are more than 2,700, I think it's greater than 2,800 locations around the U.S. where women can find help. Now, the good news is that that's four times as many as actual abortion clinics. So there are more of us, you know, even like the scripture says, you know, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. There are more of us than there are of them as far as locations are concerned. Mm-hmm. Our challenge is that we don't have the millions and millions and millions of dollars that the abortion industry has to do the same amount of advertising to be known. Mm-hmm. So it's more difficult for those particularly that are not in that situation. So we expend a great deal of resources trying to make sure that woman knows about us when she's pregnant, which is a bit of a narrow target, kind of catch her when she's in that life experience. So that's part of the adventure. But the good news is that there are that many pregnancy health locations around the country. Mm-hmm. And the best way to know that is that through optionline.org. That's a call center that we operate at Heartbeat International that really is trying to help find those women who are looking for that kind of help, and we refer them to the pregnancy centers across the nation and even outside of the country as well. Mm-hmm. And so optionline.org is one of the best places to find and see if there is help right in your community. And that's the one thing I would make sure that everyone walks away with from this conversation, is that you know where the people that are close to you that can help. And that's why we need more like Greenwood, but we already have a lot, and we need even more of these locations that are simply there to exist to help her find an alternative to abortion.
Mm. You know, I recall recently speaking with an individual who works at one of the busiest pregnancy clinics in the state of Mississippi, and they had recently done a survey. They said there were somewhere around 500 or so churches in their area of the state. And I asked this precious lady, how many churches support you? And she sort of chuckled, and sadly she said 13. And what is so sad is too many churches fail to see the mission field of the pro-life cause as they should. What thoughts come to your mind in relation to that?
Well, that is so true, Pastor Joseph. You know, we read in the scripture, I always think of the book of Acts in the very beginning, and these are red letters. You know, when he talks about being my witness to Jerusalem, Judea, and the remotest parts of the earth. Well, a lot of our missions thinking is wrapped around the mind of the remotest parts of the earth. We appreciate when missions are happening elsewhere, and they're important. That needs to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in particular, it starts with, but missions also happens in Jerusalem, right where we are. And then Judea, the surrounding region, and this is very much where pregnancy help is. You know,
I'm going to have to jump in one more time, Jurell, and we'll pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Jurell Godsey. He's the president of Heartbeat International. We'll be right back.
The underdog in the fight of my life. Is it so crazy to believe that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach, call me to waters a little too deep? Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. You keep on making me see it's way beyond me. Trading it all for the plans you got. Is this so crazy to believe that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach, call me to waters a little too deep?
The music of Toby Mac with Beyond Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Jurell Godsey. He's the president of Heartbeat International. Jurell, would you share one more time the website if someone wants to get in touch or learn more about the work and mission of Heartbeat International?
Certainly. We're at literally heartbeatinternational.org. Very easy to find. You just have to use all those letters.
All right. Okay, then. And you were sharing about just the need to see the pro-life cause as a major mission field, and part of that being, of course, the work of working with and supporting pregnancy centers.
Yes, absolutely. You know, someone described to me one time that there is a mission field created by abortion. You know, that we talk about unreached people groups. We talk about those who need to be reached with the power of the gospel, and no one is like that more than that pregnant mom or that baby who we can't see, just like we can't see the people around on the other side of the globe. But we have this life that's in need of being reached, and so that's one of the things I like, that missions thinking, that there are missions happening right in our own community where we can see lives saved and hearts touched. And Lord, and Pastor Joseph, it is a tender time for the Lord to work as well on the hearts of people, because nothing really helps a woman like the power of the gospel. Now, sometimes that manifests in material needs being met, and you know, just like you were reading in Luke 10 about the Good Samaritan, about, you know, helping her in her distress. And, you know, you see, even he even helps with paying some bills. He helps, you know, with wounds, and those are things that every pregnancy center is able to do in given the circumstances. And they also help with, of course, touch her heart with the power of the gospel. So sometimes those manifest in very practical ways, and sometimes those manifest in very spiritual ways. But those things are connected, and we know that this is also a spiritual dynamic. There's a lot of warfare. You know, the enemy of God is really backing abortion and seeking to abort the purpose of God. And so this is very much a missions mindset, very much a missions outreach, right in our own Jerusalem and in our own Judea.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you shared a story, a testimony earlier, you know, I know in my experience, hearing the stories of women and how God worked through the ministry of a pregnancy clinic are so powerful and touching. Do any other testimonies come to mind right off hand that, again, help you further see why this is such a critical ministry?
Yes, so oftentimes it's a question of two doors, Pastor Joseph. What we know about, like, for instance, I'm going to use Planned Parenthood, which is the largest provider of abortion in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
We know that from their own statistics, 9 out of 10 pregnant women who walk through the doors of Planned Parenthood will walk out without their child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, we know that 9 out of 10 pregnant women that find a pregnancy center will keep their child. So it's a matter of two doors. Which door does she walk into? And even now, though, we have some stories of rescues from the midst of an abortion, not just making an abortion decision, but the midst of abortion. And that's thanks to something called the Abortion Pill Reversal Protocol, or as we call it, the Abortion Pill Rescue Network. And we have a young lady named Rebecca that we connected with a few years ago because she was at an abortion clinic, took the first pill of an abortion pill regimen, which is two pills, not one. Even though it's called the abortion pill, it's actually two pills.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this window of time right after she took this in the parking lot. She was doubting this decision that she had just swallowed that first pill. And she tried to get them to help her, and they said no, there was nothing they could do. And she found Abortion Pill Rescue Network and was able to get progesterone, which frankly is something that helps women carry their pregnancies. It's been around for lots and lots of years. She was able to get connected, and that her little boy was saved from that abortion effect. And today he's now a second grader. He's in school. He's to be celebrated. He's one of four. They've gone on to have more children. It's very exciting for them. And we've now seen more than 2,500 babies rescued from the midst of a chemical abortion in particular. So there's a ton of stories, Pastor Joseph. They're all over. They're in our neighborhoods. There are, I think it was said in 2019, that there were 1.8 million people served through pregnancy centers across the U.S. And it's a great privilege to be part of that. We count about more than a quarter million babies are helped to be saved through that process. And those are so many stories. Those are so many lives that have been helped and who didn't truly need abortion, and that's really what we're all about.
Amen. Amen. I want to ask now, Jarrell, would you pray for persons that are listening who they may not be involved with the pro-life cause in any regard, but that they would take the time to seek God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do to help save babies, to help come against the tragedy of abortion? Because there's so much work to be done. Would you pray for those persons now?
Yeah, and I'm going to do that. Let me just give you a little tidbit of information that I found very helpful in this because it really opened my eyes to the issue, even in the church. You know, Planned Parenthood's own information says that most of the people that are seeking abortions are church people. They believe in Christ. They have some type of faith background. So it's not that Christians have had abortions. It's Christians are having abortions. And they can be right in our own neighborhood. They can be right in our own family. They can be right in our own church. So that kind of gives me a real clarity of how to pray. So that's how I want to pray.
Okay.
So, Lord, I ask you to open our eyes, Lord, to the need. There are those that are quietly desperate in knowing what to do. And so, Lord, I ask that you open the eyes of our heart, Lord, to see the desperate search and silence that some people are suffering in, Lord. They have an issue. They're afraid to come forward. They're afraid to to know, they don't know who to talk to, Lord, I pray that you give us opportunity to find her, to seek her. Lord, whether we are sitting in our pew or we're talking to our neighbors or we're at the event or the grocery store, Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom to discern and be open and to share, Lord, this true love of that other person, Lord, to help them and to listen and learn and to understand what they're going through and then to give them a different sense, Lord, of the vision and the opportunity that we can help her with, Lord, by empowering and equipping her. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that you'll put right in our path, Lord, as people of faith. You can entrust us, Lord, with those who are around us who need to know that we have an answer for them, Lord, even if it's just connecting them to someone else. So, Lord, I thank you for that opportunity, whether it's from the pulpit, it's in the pew, or it's in the streets, Lord. However we can do that, we thank you, Father, for opening the opportunity for us to connect people to life-giving ministry.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jarrell. Jarrell, in the last few moments of the broadcast before our time ends, would you comment on just the fact that, you know, with the Texas heartbeat bill having been passed and, of course, the Mississippi case that's coming before the Supreme Court in a few weeks, the life issue is very much in the news. And sadly, you have, you know, of course, obviously it's great that so many believers are rejoicing at that. But on the other hand, you have people that say they love the Lord who are mourning these developments. Would you share your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm excited. I'm grateful for Texas. You know, it's a bold step. It has a really unique sense of how it's structured, which is one of the reasons why it's giving so many people who are dependent upon the current legal structure so many concerns, because it's a very novel approach to it. Mm-hmm. But at its heart, it really is the state of Texas saying, you know, we have every right to protect our smallest residents. And why wouldn't the state do that? You know, grateful for the state of Mississippi and for, you know, for Dobbs and the opportunity that's right there in the state, because they took it upon themselves and said, you know what, why do we have to wait to protect a child? They're trying to make it illegal to have abortions in the second trimester. Almost no one in the country believes that that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And so you have right there in Dobbs, you have this opportunity, and all of this goes to the kind of the heart of the legal standing and the protection of abortion that was created by Roe versus Wade in 1973. And so this is an important debate for our country to be having. We have never settled this issue one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that we keep it in the forefront. And these kind of actions help that happen. It's something for us to pray about. It's something for us to realize we can do better than abortion. So how do we do that? And Texas is one of those states that has been doing a lot to help women not need abortion. And so we know that Mississippi does its best as well, and other states can do better to help her find another answer besides abortion. And of course, there are those that want to protect abortion and the so-called right to it, but we can always do better for her to not need abortion.
That's right. And so an encouragement to every single listener is we're asking that you'd pray for the believers that are on the forefront, believers in ministries like Heartbeat and others that are on the forefront of addressing the life issue, and pray that God would raise up more believers who in their heart are committed to helping to further the cause of life and to help end the tragedy of abortion as well. Would you share one more time? Our time is almost gone. Would you share one more time the website and how people can get in touch with you and learn more about you and the work of Heartbeat?
Yes, absolutely. So heartbeatinternational.org is our website. And let me just say this other website as well, optionline.org. That's the one that really is to help connect people who need help with the help in their community. So optionline.org is something that I believe every Christian, every church should be aware of, because that's where we can help people connect with the life-affirming people who and services and resources that will help them choose life.
All right. And of course, if there are persons who are listening who are thinking to themselves, they're prayerfully considering starting a pregnancy ministry in their community, then they should get in touch with you as well, right?
Absolutely. We can help with that. We can give them some tools and certainly walk them through that process, pray with them in that process, and maybe even direct them to some other help that will help kind of catalyze what they're doing.
All right. All right. And of course, in our last few moments of our broadcast, as usual, we're speaking to all persons that, in particular, though, if there's someone listening who's never made that all-important step of asking Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, we want to invite you to make that very important step in all of life. The most important decision that we can make is the decision to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. If you're that person, would you simply pray this prayer with us to make that step in your life? Simply pray this prayer with me, if you would. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent of that wrong. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrongs I've done. And right now, Lord, I ask you, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you simply prayed that prayer with us, we ask that you would please email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'd very much like to be in touch with you. Again, jparker@afa.net. Jarrell, thank you so much for being with us and for sharing about the great work and mission and ongoing work of Heartbeat International. One last time, if you'll share the website and how people can get in touch with you, both to get information, but also, as you mentioned, if they want to start that ministry in their community, how can they do that?
Yes, thank you, Pastor Joseph, for the opportunity and privilege to participate today. And the people, folks can reach us at heartbeatinternational.org. We'd love to hear from everybody, even just to know what they're doing and how they're looking forward to sharing life with others.
Amen. And I would ask every single listener, pray much for the ministry of Heartbeat International and Jarrell as he provides leadership for that ministry as well. Thanks for listening. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.